Part 2, Section 8. Lua meets the Master. It was truly an historic pilgrimage upon which Lua had launched them. None of them would ever be the same. Little did that handful of believers dream of the significance of their journey and the worldwide consequences which would follow their entry into the prison city of Akka. They were the first of a long line of pilgrims who had come in a ceaseless flow from all parts of the world, even down to the present day. Only two world wars would interrupt this constant and ever-increasing movement of visitors to the Baha'i World Center. Those first unique pilgrims were forced to arrive in small numbers and at irregular intervals because they, like their beloved Master Abdu'l-Bahá, were in effect prisoners themselves when they were with him. Abdu'l-Bahá explained to pilgrims who came 8 years later a truth that was even more applicable to Lua and her companions. "This is a prison," Abdu'l-Bahá said, "and in prison one cannot find rest. Whatever it may be, this is a prison, and you will stay some days in this prison with us, and you will be counted as prisoners. In fact, you are my companions in servitude to the world, and you are in prison as I am, and in everything we are partners." No words could bring greater happiness to the heart of a pilgrim. Imagine the joy of sharing, even on that pitifully small scale, the sorrows and imprisonment of Abdu'l-Bahá. When Lua and her friends met Abdu'l-Bahá for the first time, their world became another world. All that had happened to them in the past was of no consequence. This was the moment of their rebirth. Later, they would perform acts which would astound the Baha'is of both East and West. In concert with their fellow believers from other countries, the spiritual children of these early Baha'is would settle in more than 100 countries in 11 months and plant the banner of Baha'u'llah in over 50,000 places on the surface of the planet. Only future historians will be able to adequately recount and properly assess the value of that matchless first pilgrimage and its impact upon the history of the Baha'i faith and the fate of the world. The days which those first pilgrims spent in the prison city of Akka were precious moments they would treasure all their lives. In this vicinity, Baha'u'llah spent nearly a quarter of a century as a prisoner and an exile. So foul was the atmosphere, so unsanitary and disease-ridden, that a proverb declared, "If a bird flies over Akka, it dies." Yet in that unfragrant place, these first pilgrims experienced nothing but happiness. They were prisoners where Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá had been prisoners. They were surrounded by love each step of the way. May Maxwell, Lua's dear friend, recalled their first visit to Abdu'l-Bahá in these words: "During the three wonderful days and nights we spent in that sacred spot, we heard naught but the mention of God. His holy name was on every tongue. His beauty and goodness were the theme of all conversations. His glorious cause, the only aim of every life. Whenever we gathered together in one of the rooms, they spoke unceasingly of the blessed perfection, Baha'u'llah, relating incidents in the life of the beloved, mentioning his words, telling of his deeds and the passionate love and devotion of his followers, until our hearts ached with love and longing. Abdu'l-Bahá told the pilgrims not to be sad because he was a prisoner. Anyone can be happy in the state of comfort, ease, success, health, pleasure and joy, he said. But if one can be happy and contented in the time of trouble, hardship, and prevailing disease, that is the proof of nobility. This was the lesson Abdu'l-Bahá taught these pilgrims. Grieve not because of my imprisonment and calamity, he wrote, for this prison is my beautiful garden, my mansioned paradise, and my throne of dominion among mankind. Lua and her fellow pilgrims learnt many a lesson at Abdu'l-Bahá's feet. His personal wants were few. He worked from morning to late at night. Two simple meals a day were sufficient for him. His wardrobe held only a few garments of inexpensive material. Abdu'l-Bahá could not bear to live in luxury while others were in want. One of Lua's contemporaries has described those days of pilgrimage, saying, to Abdu'l-Bahá as a teacher and friend came men and women from every race, religion and nation to sit at his table like favoured guests, questioning him about the social, spiritual or moral program each had most at heart. And after a stay lasting from a few hours to a few months, returning home inspired, renewed and enlightened. The world surely never possessed such a guest house as this. Within these doors, the rigid castes of India melted away. The racial prejudice of Jew, Christian and Mohammedan became less than a memory. And every convention save the essential law of warm hearts and aspiring minds broke down, banned and forbidden by the unifying sympathy of the master of the house. It was like a King Arthur and the Round Table, but an Arthur who knighted women as well as men and sent them away not with a sword, but with the word. Such was Lua, who was to become the mother teacher of the West and a herald of that new day soon to dawn in America. Abdu'l-Bahá gave her the Persian title, Liva, the banner. She would wave the flag of the covenant in many lands.